Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, again, Corey Kispert from the Washington Wizards coming up in about a half an hour on their way to the airport, where they will start a five-game road trip tomorrow night in Memphis against the Grizzle. Hey, John Morant is back. Zach Edey is kicking ass. Oof. Tough way to start that road trip, man. Tough way to start that road trip, but hopefully it'll go okay. So we've been asking who the most important, best addition outside of Jaden Daniels is and has been since the takeover in January. And again, that includes free agents, trades, draft, what have you. A lot of different answers. I'm cool with all of them. Understand where you guys are going. I don't think there's any wrong answers. Luvu just got another vote on Twitter by, I think, David, if I remember correctly, looking at it. According to PFF, just for, again, whatever that's worth, 16 total pressures in 9 games for Luvu. I would have thought the number would have been a little higher. There have been games where I think Frankie Luvu has been really, really noticeable. And then I would say some games where I haven't noticed him as much. But I think it was JYD that mentioned it. Maybe it was somebody else. I can't remember. I can't keep everything straight. The energy that Frankie Luvu brings in the locker room, on the field, the versatility, I think it's only going to get better. Like, nobody should have been expecting Frankie Luvu to come in here and get 12 sacks a year. If that's what you were expecting, you weren't paying attention. But if he can get 8 sacks by the time it's all said and done, that's good, man. That's real good. And if he can have the impact that we all believe he has in terms of the energy, the athleticism. And remember, in that Cleveland game, he stopped that 4th down play early on in the first drive. And then he had, I think, 2 sacks after that or something like that. I mean, not that he won that game single-handedly, but he was the most noticeable and impactful defensive player in that one game. It was 6 tackles. Maybe it wasn't 2 sacks. 2 hurries. The 4th down stop, I know, on the first play, on the first series. All right, back to the phones we go. 301-230-0980. I think it's Tyler Biadasz. Again, there's no wrong answers, guys. I mean, you want to go Bobby Wagner, as some have gone. You want to go Luvu, fine. I'm surprised nobody has brought up Jeremy Chinn, because Jeremy Chinn has been awesome since week 3. Now, he struggled out of the gates. First 2 weeks, he wasn't tackling right. He seemed to be avoiding hits, contact. I don't know what was going on. He seemed to be uncomfortable. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about that. But Jeremy Chinn was a maniac again on Sunday, in the nicest way I can say it. I mean, just the nicest. I mean, we all knew it. We all felt it. Like, 2 of the first 3 series, he had 3rd down pass breakups. He had a 6-yard blow-up on the big run drive that the Giants had. I think that was on the actual scoring drive and not the one that they had the fumble on, but I could be confusing the two. But he had 2 stops in pass coverage on 3rd down. And then Matt Bowen of ESPN put something up last night, the overhead like coaching video, and he's just a whirling dervish. He's like making this big loop, like almost like a helicopter, like one of those fighter jet things would make. and he's racing about 20, 25 yards on a diagonal and just blowing up a play in the left flat. It was unbelievable. It was a great play watching it live and watching it on regular tape. To see it from the overhead view, from the coaching video view, was unreal. Unreal. All right, let's get back to the calls. Line three is Lou. What up, sweet Lou? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
What's shaking, Lou?
Man, this thing over here is driving me crazy trying to assemble this stupid desk, but
I don't know what you're talking about, Lou. You're assembling a desk?
Yeah, man, one of those desks that you know what I'm saying, Chris.
Sure. I mean, listen, I would never call me for help assembling a desk. I have no mechanical skill at all.
Yeah, it's like 30 pieces, and you got to get all these. Yeah, but whatever.
I hear you.
But yeah, it's hard to try to, you know, to say one guy. You know, I like the long snapper, man. I think he's been an A1. I mean, that's been an issue with Ron, you know. Ron led team the last couple of years. So the long snapper for sure.
Tyler Ott,
yeah. Kicker too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the kicker, you know, and the other Austin Eckler too. I mean, he's been special on special team, and even when he's in the game, man, he makes a lot of big plays, getting picking up first downs and things like that. So, I mean, you know, Noah. I mean, come on, man. I mean, the list. The defense, Noah, the offense, Noah. I mean, the list is many.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't put the defensive Noah Igbinoghene at the very top of that list, but he's played a nice role.
Yeah, he's been way better than Benjamin. So I know Benjamin, he's on the outside looking in because I know one of those guys.
Well, he wasn't an addition. He wasn't an addition of this staff
because Noah's going to be a starter. I know he's going. I know they're not going to put Benjamin Juice over Noah. That's for sure.
Oh, that's not true. That's incorrect. That's incorrect,
Once
Lou.
Once Marshawn get on the business,
Lou, I guarantee you, Noah Igbinoghene will not be playing and starting over Benjamin St. Juice. I guarantee it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll
I mean, Igbinoghene can play, and he can play both inside and outside. But he's not playing over Benjamin St. Juice on the outside. He's just not. I know you hate St. Juice, but, you know, as a football player. But
hey, Chris, but he's just not. Like we said, he's the number two and number three guy.
Yeah, he's a number two.
Corner, I mean, a receiver. But I think Noah, he's been playing good lately. So I like him to be the number two in the mic, you know, in the slot. And then St. Juice looking on the outside, like my boy number 13. And he's not hustling out there. He's out there. He got interception, and he's all sliding. The guy who returned 7 interceptions in college, he's out there falling. Like, I mean, instead of returning the interception, but it is what it is. That was in the past. But yeah, you know Forbes. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, right? Emmanuel Forbes. He's got to worry about staying on the roster. Now, listen to your point. I'll give you something here, right? If you believe PFF's grading, which a lot of people are very dubious, skeptical, what have you, Benjamin St. Juice has an overall grade this year of 48.9, right? Whereas Noah Igbinoghene, now again, they play different positions, even though they both play corner. Igbinoghene's play the slot. You're going to not play the top receiver, okay? But Noah Igbinoghene has a better grade, a 57 out of 100. St. Juice has, again, this is just PFF, St. Juice has a 48.9. But if you factor in the fact that St. Juice has gone against number one receivers all year, and Igbinoghene hasn't, I would say they're pretty much even in terms of their performance, if not a slight lean towards St. Juice.
Yeah, because we don't have a caliber corner, so St. Juice was going to face the number one.
Well, yeah. That's why you're so down on him, though. That's the point.
Chris, I'm not down. I just wish that why they not, if I'm watching the same thing, why they not telling them, like, just look up, dude. If you just, every corner that I see that play the game, they look. instead of holding
people. I see a lot of corners that do not look and that do not turn around. But
what?
Listen, we will find out. We will find out for sure what they value Benjamin St. Juice at this offseason because he's a free agent. And now that you have Lattimore signed under contract, well, I wouldn't say that. It depends on 31 other teams. I think they would try and bring him back. Try.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to make an argument.
You shouldn't because I'm right. I don't think that it's a no-brainer that they're not bringing him back by any stretch. I'm not guaranteeing that they will.
In 4 years, where have you done? Like, one interception, you tell me that's productive in 4-5 years?
Lou, I understand. I understand there haven't been enough game-changing plays. I got it.
Chris, he ain't one of those guys that's jumping out there trying to tackle either. So he ain't one of Dan's guys. So I'm pretty sure he ain't coming back. Yeah. I'm not trying to be negative, but I got to call it like it is. He be out fake hustling. I'm calling it like it is.
All right.
People might not like it. I see what I see on TV. So
listen, I can't guarantee that he's coming back. I appreciate the phone call. I can't guarantee that he's coming back. I can't because I don't know what 31 other teams, how they value and evaluate Benjamin St. Juice. And how this team will. Here's what I know. At 6'2.5", at 220, with now 4 years of experience, and if you ask him to be a number two, you don't think Benjamin St. Juice can be better than he has been, where he's been asked and pressed to be not always the number one because Kendall Fuller took a lot of that? But I got to be honest with you guys. Kendall Fuller was... He was okay. Maybe more than okay. He was solid. But why do you think this staff had zero interest, zero, in bringing Kendall Fuller back? Zero. It wasn't the Dolphins decided to give him a contract that the Commanders wanted. They had no interest. None. None at all. Now, I'm not saying that they make the right decision on everything. Obviously, they saw Michael Davis. He hadn't worked out. Now, maybe he could work out a second. I don't know. They kept Emmanuel Forbes. He hadn't worked out. Maybe that could change, but we don't know. But I'm just telling you, they had no interest in bringing back Kendall Fuller. They did have interest in retaining Benjamin St. Juice. Now we'll find out at the end of this year, and we still have, again, 8 more games left this year to find out, hey, man, next Thursday night, when you've got to go against Devontae Smith for the most part, is he going to abuse you? Now, sometimes he might draw A.J. Brown, depending on how Philadelphia deploys, or this week it might be Mike Williams, and I think that's a pretty good matchup for St. Juice. If it's Mike Williams, if Lattimore's on the field, we'll see. All right, let's get to Russell in Delaware on line one. Russell, how are you on the Team 980?
Hey, Russ. Russ to Russ.
Yeah, the Russ to Russ connection, baby. It's like the Hart Foundation back in the day, you know?
That's right. I like you bringing up Chin. Chin's one I hadn't really thought of. I still like offensively, I like Biotis, and defensively, you know, I got to double down on Frankie Louvu. I got to say that the caller that intimated that we would fire Dan Quinn has got to have lost his marbles to some extent. That's just insane. But what I would
you might have to have marbles first, Russ. You know?
Well, truer words never spoken. Oh, I wanted to mention, I wish you'd ask me what was shaking when I first called, because I'd have to tell you just about everything when I make a move.
Whoa! So, hey now! Little R-rated radio there. I love it!
In any event, I am thinking that what you might do is see if you can entice Kingsbury with giving him a little bit more of some money, you know, and see if he wouldn't take a head coaching job.
Well, sure.
You know, you wouldn't want to.
Listen, like, here's the thing, though. If he's getting a head coaching opportunity, right, he's going to make more money than the $3 or $4 million per year, or maybe even more, that you could make here. Unless he does not want to be a head coach, I don't know, because Cliff Kingsbury is a pretty private guy. He's not this Hollywood diva that he was painted out to be, with this luxurious thing in Phoenix and, you know, the mansion and the women and all that. He's not that way. He's a football lifer. He's a grinder. He may not want to talk to the media and deal with that three-ring circus in whatever town, especially in a big town where there's a lot of expectations.
Yeah, and the point being, you know, that he would get paid, you know, massively more if he were to take a head coaching job. But, you know, I just think it's worth giving him some consideration to see if he would consider staying at least for another year or two, you know, in the current circumstances. And again, like you said, you don't know where he would, you know, what his leanings would be.
Right. Right. No, I hear you. I appreciate it. Thanks, Russ. Always good to hear from you. Let you run on that. We'll take a quick timeout here just before 2:18 on the Team 980. We're scheduled to be joined in about 12, 13 minutes by Corey Kispert of the Washington Wizards. Make sure you stay tuned for that, and we'll have more football coverage on the other side of that. You'll hear Alex Ovechkin's goal coming up as well. All part of the show until 4 o'clock here on a Thursday afternoon on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We were talking about Cliff Kingsbury. He had a comment today that's making the rounds. Cliff might need to borrow a bar of soap. You know, as us old people used to say, put a bar in your soap in your mouth. Like, that's how I grew up. You know, if you cursed around your parents or family or whatever, and you were like of a certain age, you know, say under 15, 16, whatever, back in the olden days, 70s, 80s, he put a bar of soap in your mouth. Cliff Kingsbury, it's out there. You can all listen to it. I'm not going to play it because, again, we're not allowed to in terms of the expletive unless we beep it out. It wasn't anything bad. He was just talking about a short week and, you know, kind of the preparation and the messaging and whatnot, because the Commanders are obviously looking at a very quick turnaround from Pittsburgh on Sunday to Philadelphia next Thursday night, where we are planning to do the show from next Thursday afternoon in Philly for Thursday night football. We will have details on that. All right, let's, again, Corey Kispert going to join us here in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned for that from the Washington Wizards. Right now, we go out to Mitch in Jersey. What up, Mitch? How are you?
I'm going to talk to the guy at the dental.
Mitch!
Mitch! Oh, Cliff, that's me.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
That's all right. Mitch, you got a terrible phone line. What's going on?
I know. I'm waiting, and then when I finally get, go on, boom, I miss my cue.
Yeah.
So I'm active. Just want to say, he's more of a decoy. He hasn't put up the great numbers. He's missed a few games, and I think he'd be a heck of a
wide receiver. Your phone dipped out. Are you talking about Austin Eckler?
Yeah, Austin Eckler.
Yeah, I don't think he's a decoy. You think he's a decoy?
Well, they don't use him a lot. He's not a 20... You don't want to rush him 20 times.
Right. Well, that's not his role, though. But, I mean, if you look at, with Brian Robinson out last week, right, and I'll just take you on his touchdown drive, which was an enormous answer, and he was a big part of it. On back-to-back plays, he runs like a little crisscross mesh with Jeremy McNichols and rips off a big chunk. I forget how many yards, 10, 12 yards, whatever it was. And then on the next play, he's lined up as a slot receiver and basically takes a jab step, gets a little tunnel screen catch, and takes off for 30 yards. I mean, you know, and then finishes off the drive with a hard-charging physical first down. Now, do you want him carrying the ball 20-plus times a game? Absolutely not. That's not how his body is going to hold up. But that's also not how he should be used either. He's physical and tough enough where he can absorb some punishment, but you don't want him doing that, of course, every game. But that doesn't mean he's being used as a decoy. I think he's been used great as a receiver, as a back, as a pass protector. He is terrific at picking up blitzes and as a kick returner as well.
Yeah, he's exciting. I hope he can stay healthy the rest of the year. He kind of reminds you of Terry Metcalf, and I'm going back in my day.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the player. I didn't cover him, so I don't have as much memory. As you do, but look, he's not what Marshall Faulk in his prime was. I'm not saying that, but he's got some of that skill package in that if you can keep him healthy, and he's missed the one game because of a concussion, not because of hamstring or whatever, which has got him in the past. He's missed one game. He's missed one game this year because of a concussion and bounced right back and played an immediate role. It's not like you had to baby him. It's not like you had to kind of sit him. And he plays at a physical position. Brian Robinson's already missed two and a half games already, and really maybe even more than that. So we'll see. But I agree that Austin Eckler has obviously been a great addition, and I thought about picking him, but I went with Biotis. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it. Got to let you run so we can get to a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980. Corey Kispert scheduled to join us in just a wee little bit. Stay with us. All right, so the Commanders wrapping up practice on this Thursday out in command land in Ashburn as they get set for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, Marshawn Lattimore, the big question is, will he play? We still don't know the answer to that. Joe Witt Jr., the defensive coordinator, not saying anything when asked by reporters earlier today. We will see how fast they can onboard Lattimore and see if they can get him into uniform this Sunday against Pittsburgh. Our game day coverage begins with Earl Forsey at 9 a.m. and wraps up with the DOC taking your calls out of Northwest Stadium right after the game. Meanwhile, Thursday night football tonight, 4-5 Cincinnati, 6-3 Baltimore. Last time these two teams met up, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, Baltimore outlasted Cincy in overtime, but Joe Burrow had a big day with 5 passing touchdowns. Meanwhile, from college football, how about this? The AD at Florida says Billy Napier, the embattled head coach, will continue to be the head coach for at least the rest of the year. He stressed a disciplined, stable approach that Napier has installed and asked Florida fans to continue standing behind him. The Wizards are on their way to Memphis. 5-game road trip. We'll have Corey Kispert in moments. Stay tuned for that. And that's what's trending right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, everybody, we welcome you back. We'll get back to our football conversation later on in the show. But as you know, Team 980 is the flagship station for the Washington Wizards. You can hear most Wizards games right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And joining us right now, he recently signed a long-term contract extension. We've had him on the show, I think, each of his couple of years here in Washington since being a mid-first-round pick, and always good to catch up with Corey Kispert here on the Team 980. Hey, Corey, it's Chris Russell. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
What's up, Chris? I'm doing well. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Great to have you again, as always. And congratulations on the contract extension. Well-deserved. Before we get actually into the team, just wanted to take you back because I haven't had a chance to talk to you since then. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't a surprise when it happened. Of course, you're involved in those negotiations. But how important was that to get it done, when you got it done, how you got it done, and just to be able to put that aside?
Yeah, man, you have no idea how stressful those conversations and that negotiation can be until you're actually in it. It was a couple of about a month or a month and a half of talks back and forth, and The Wizards and my agents, we were all great to work with. I think it was a super productive process, but it took a lot of years off my life just considering the enormity of the situation. And with that all being said, like, thrilled with how it happened, thrilled with how it concluded. And again, like you said also, like, super happy to put it to bed and focus on the sport that I love and the game that I love, rather than all the business side of it, you know?
You know, it obviously on the court, it hasn't exactly been what everybody wanted, as the organization has been, you know, went from, I guess, you know, playoff contender-ish when you first got here to a total kind of rebuild and reload. But when you look at what this team is building, just from an organizational perspective, I would think from inside the locker room and inside your brain, and I don't want to speak for you, you know, like, it's an opportunity, even though it might take a little bit longer than ideally anybody would want, it's an opportunity to potentially be a part of something special. How much did that weigh into, hey, man, I don't want to turn my back and go somewhere else when I can be a part of what they're building here?
Yeah, that's a big part of what we talked about. All of the negotiations and everybody's situation's different. And my situation has turned into one where it's a longer-term vision than other teams, right? The horizon's longer. You have more room to grow and more room to expand your game and expand your kind of foothold in an organization. And luckily, these guys believe that I can be a part of it. And so all of those factors go into the process of signing a new contract. And it really is not, it's a unique experience. It's a unique opportunity. And, you know, a lot of guys are playing, a lot of other guys who signed rookie extensions are playing for teams with lots shorter windows and shorter horizons. But you kind of have an opportunity to invest in a little bit of a longer period than some other players would have had a chance to.
No doubt. Corey Kispert of the Washington Wizards joining us. And follow him on X at @Corey_Kispert, @Corey_Kispert, as the Wiz get ready for a 5-game road trip starting tomorrow night in Memphis. You can hear that game over on Bloomberg 99.1 FM. And again, Corey, nice enough to join us here before leaving for Memphis. So from your game perspective, I think when we had you on last year, and maybe I didn't ask or whatever, I was kind of kicking myself after, I think you led the NBA in three-point shooting percentage or whatever it was in 2022, if I remember correctly. But we all know that it is incredibly difficult to be as consistent as any athlete would like to be when you're a long-range shooter in this particular case. How frustrating mentally is the ups and downs that you sometimes have to deal with when your shot just isn't falling as much as you would like it to and as much as you work on your game?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, man. And that's the million-dollar question that a lot of athletes in whatever sport struggle with. Basketball specifically is an inconsistent game, and it's an inconsistent art, and you can do all the prep work you want, and you can feel great about your game, and sometimes the shots just don't go in.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability, the consistency, the way we view consistency necessarily isn't in shots, you know, going through the rim or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's the consistency of the prep work that you do beforehand. And thankfully, the season is long enough that, you know, periods of 5 games or 3 games or 10 games don't define your season.
Right.
Plenty of times and plenty of shots to make it up. And ultimately, the cream of the crop is going to rise to the top, right? And the people that deserve to be at the top of those kind of percentage lists when it comes to long-range shooters are going to end up there at the end of the season because they're the best. And I firmly believe that I'm going to be there again this year, and it's just a matter of time before, you know, the water finds its level.
Right. No doubt about it. Well said. Corey Kispert with us from the Washington Wizards. Besides the three-point shooting and long-distance shooting, how else, where do you think you've made the biggest jump, say, over the last year, year and a half, or whatever time frame you want to use in terms of your individual game? Is it attacking the basket? Is it defense? Where would you kind of like hang your hat and say, all right, if my shot's not falling, I can count on this?
Yeah, it's those first two, man. And I was a really elite level finisher around the rim,
right,
for my position last year. And that's a testament to the work that I've put in as well. Like, anybody that watches a game with the naked eye can tell you that I can shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my job to, you know, have a counter for that kind of scouting report stuff for other teams. And so whether it's, you know, putting the ball on the deck when guys run me off the three-point line, or screening and rolling and getting into the paint, making plays for others, but especially finishing at the rim. Like, that's kind of been the next iteration, right, and the next evolution of my game, is to make teams pay for only thinking that I can just shoot threes and trying to get me off the line and be okay with that. So that's that. And then defensively, it's been a long, long road for getting better. And if you were to look at me, you know, even 2 years from now, and then look at me now guarding the ball, it feels night and day to me. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, scouting reports on our end, making sure that I'm completely dialed in there. But then also, like, the actual physical way that I move, and being more capable in the weight room to move more efficiently and guard these guys that are, you know, world-class athletes. And if the shot's not falling, then I can kind of lean back on those two things and still, you know, make a major impact on the game and help the team win.
Yeah. And now that you've been around for a couple of years at this level and had the kind of success that you've had individually, did I see the video right? Somebody put it up on Twitter, and I hope I saw this right. You were helping Alex Saar, I believe, recently, like, in terms of three-point shooting and catching the ball high and not going to the ground or dribble with it where it could get knocked away or it could get, you know, thrown off, right? There's obviously an art to it. Yes, we know that. But also technique, and I would assume it's easier to get off if you're not going to the ground with it, right?
Yeah, it's much easier to get off that way, and it's a really, really hard shot. It's an advanced level shot, and Alex has a gift of height, and he has a gift of length, and it makes sense for him to be able to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that he necessarily can or should implement right away, but it's stuff that he can work on over the course of his what's going to be his really, really long career. That's, you know, is a tool in the back pocket that he can use, and it's a technique of mine that I use kind of regularly every day to, you know, check the boxes on my technique to make sure my shot feels correct.
Sure.
And if I can, you know, pass that along or give him any advice or give him tools to work on while he pursues a long career, like, I'm happy to do that.
Corey Kispert of the Washington Wizards, nice enough to join us on the way to Memphis, where the Wiz will kick off a 5-game road trip starting tomorrow night. So we talked about Saar, and obviously you trying to give him a little bit of help. What is your relationship so far, the dynamics between you and Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, and Saar? Have they fit in pretty well? Has there been you know, a lot of camaraderie, like, yeah, people are talking about with the Commanders, Corey, I don't know if you pay attention, you know, the brotherhood, and that's what pushed them to first place so far. How has the brotherhood, the camaraderie, the cohesion worked with the three young guys so far this year?
Yeah, they've been great. The ability for them to soak up information like sponges and implement it right away has been remarkable. It's been really, really good to see those guys grow every single day. And, you know, off the court, too, like, when I was a rookie and I showed up, I just didn't want to piss anybody off and stay in my lane and kind of blend in.
Yeah.
These guys are uniquely themselves, and they're charismatic and they're passionate, and the way that they play, or who they are, shows on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really special, you know, thing to have at such a young age when you're playing against grown men and legends of the game. And that's how you earn respect in the league, you know, amongst your own teammates and amongst other teams, is you go out there, you play, you know, you play really, really hard, and you are unapologetically yourself,
right,
and these guys have no problem doing that.
Yeah, a certain tenacity is needed, obviously, to survive and thrive in this game. And, you know, I don't know, I'm guessing you probably haven't heard it, but Draymond Green was singing their praises the other night after the Golden State game about specifically Bob and Keyshawn. Just, you know, yeah, they're talking a little trash, but they're playing their ass off. They're playing hard. And you know, as a player, right, whether you guys win or lose, whether you shoot well or not, it's the effort, it's the tenacity, it's the hustle, it's the little things that all add up. And certainly the coaches are paying attention to that, if not everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain feeling that other teams get, or what we get when you kind of step onto the court against certain teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you're in for a dogfight. You know that you might be able to cruise through this one. Or there's kind of little subtle feelings that you get when you step onto the floor against certain teams.
Sure.
Our hope as an organization is that no matter what the result ends up being at the end of the night this year, like, we want every single team to feel like they're going to have to lace them up and play super hard in order to get the best of us.
Yeah.
And a guy like Draymond definitely respects that and sees the value in that. And credit to him for voicing that for everyone to hear.
Corey Kispert with us. You guys are again on your way to Memphis tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Tip back here on Bloomberg 99.1. Then after that, the Magic, the Rockets, the Spurs, and the Hawks at the end of a five-game road trip. You've already been to Atlanta. How is a five-game road trip sounds like a daunting task, but sometimes with a young team, just based on my experiences, it can be really good for, again, forming that off-the-court bond and that trust in each other. Is that how you got to kind of look at it, or do you just look at it as, man, it's a five-game gauntlet and we've just got to survive it and just come back, you know, 3-2 or at worst 2-3?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, man. Like, packing my suitcase last night was a daunting task for such a long trip.
Right.
Yeah, but also, like, it's a chance for us to get away. It's a chance for us to travel together, spend time together, have good and constructive conversations on the plane, things like that. That'll help us grow. And we're nowhere near the point of the season yet where it feels like it's survival mode. We're excited to let it rip against these teams and spend some time together. No, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and it's a tough start to the road trip because, you know, I know the Magic lost Banchero last week, and that's a big blow for them. But, you know, the Grizzlies, they have Ja Morant back, and he's been so banged up and dealing with other issues. Now they got Zach Edey. So you got some tall tasks ahead of you in just the first two games of this road trip. And I know every game is tough, so it's a good chance, obviously, to get it going here for the Wizards. One last thing before we let you go, Corey, if you don't mind. You guys had a quick one-game sojourn to Mexico City. What was that experience like? I know it wasn't great on the court, but how difficult was that on the body and all the travel and international stuff for just basically one game?
Yeah, the travel was okay, actually. I mean, it's not like we played a game a couple years ago in Japan for the preseason, and that travel was hundreds of times worse with the time zones and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was just the elevation here that kind of got to us. It's about 8,000 feet up there, and you could definitely feel it on the court.
Mm.
All that aside, visiting Mexico City was great. It was the day of the dead while we were out there, and being able to kind of see that city come alive and for them to be a part of that holiday celebration was really special. My wife and a couple of friends came out as well.
Awesome.
I got to experience the whole thing on the ground and in the streets, and it was a really cool experience for them. So I'm happy that we did that as a team. And yeah, results aside, I'm going to look back really fondly on that trip.
Awesome. Well, listen, best of luck. I know you got to get on the plane, so I appreciate you making some time for us. Long five-game road trip, but you guys are building something. I really truly feel that, and I'm a big fan of yours, and congratulations to you and your family on the contract extension. Thanks as always for being kind to us and spending some good time with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it, boys. Thank you.
All right, that is Corey Kispert right here of the Washington Wizards right here before they leave for Memphis. Good guy there. We've had him on, I think, 3 or 4 times since becoming a member of the Washington Wizards. So always enjoy catching up with him. Hope you Wizards fans enjoyed that as well. All right, we come back. We make the turn towards 3 o'clock. We can get back into our conversation about the most important Washington Commander acquisition. And Chris, if you can get ready, I want to play that audio from Draymond Green, if we can, that I gave you yesterday that you cut up. If we can do that so we can hear what Draymond Green said in his own words that I asked Corey about, and Corey, I think, gave a good answer about Bub Carrington and Keyshawn George. We'll do that in just a couple of moments right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, once again, thanks to Corey Kispert of the Washington Wizards for joining us. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation, even if you're not into, you know, the Wizards because it's early in the season or because they're still rebuilding. That's a big part of the foundation in the future. They've got a lot of young talent, man. You heard him talk about, you know, Bub Carrington and Keyshawn George and Alex Saar and working with Saar on three-pointers and not, you know, going to the floor. And I kept saying the ground, the floor, with the shot and getting it up and, you know, using that height and using that athleticism and so on and so forth. The contract extension, how much that was weighing on him now that it's done, you know, it allows you to mentally be free, if you will. The trip to Mexico City, just all of that, the five-game road trip, good spot there if you missed any of it. Hit the Odyssey Rewind feature on the Team 980. Brady, or you can just podcast it after the show. Chris does a great job getting that all that up for us. Just give him a little bit of time after 4 o'clock to get it all up, and you can check it out. Coming up, Sam Bruckhaus from SoomerSports.com. He's been all over the trade deadline, does a daily podcast for Soomer Sports called Soomer Daily. So we will get his reaction and thoughts to, obviously, the Marshawn Lattimore trade and everything else in between the rest of the trade deadline acquisitions. The Steelers making a couple of moves, of course, for Preston Smith and Mike Williams. We'll ask about that and much, much more. So we'll get back to the football conversation in just a little bit. But as part of the Corey Kispert interview, I asked him about what Draymond Green said on Monday night after the Warriors beat the Wiz at Capital One Arena, and he was singing the praises of specifically Bub Carrington and Keyshawn George. Now, this is via Monumental and Bijan Todd, who is a reporter for them, who recorded it. Chris tells me the audio is not as crystal clean as we would like it to be, but you could certainly hear it.
We're on AM radio. We can handle it.
Exactly. Wanted to put it into words just so you guys had an opportunity to hear it. So here's Draymond Green of the Warriors. Certainly no stranger to saying anything outspoken and real, and certainly not shy with his opinions on Bub Carrington and Keyshawn George.
Draymond, hey, I'm curious what you thought about the matchup with a couple of the younger Wizards players, especially Keyshawn George, because he had a stretch there where he made a couple threes, and I saw you two kind of talking with each other as you went up and down the court. So what did you think of those matchups?
I'm a big fan of him and Bub. The energy that they bring, the demeanor that they bring, that's the first time we've seen a Washington Wizards team play that hard in years. And it's because of them two guys' energy. They come out talking. They bark. I had to ask both of them. I asked Keyshawn, you talk? Like, yeah. I said, all right, that's what we're doing. I like that. You know, and then Bub was talking from the gate. And, you know, I came into the league with that type of energy. And I respect guys that do. You know, you don't come in, you don't bow down to anybody. My mom said, well, I don't care what you did before. I'm not here. You ain't do it while I was here. So what you did before, that got nothing to do with me. And that's the type of time they was on. And it showed. You know, they never quit. We were in control of the game the whole game. At no point did they quit. At no point did you feel it was easy. And then also, you can tell that Coach Keith is doing an incredible job. And they're doing a great job. And how you can tell if a team is well coached, every single time we got the ball in the pocket, we got a drive, their low man was there. And that is a telling sign of an NBA team when their low man gets there. They were there every single time. And so, you know, I think for the first time in a long time, this city, this organization got some guys that they can look forward with. And that's an exciting thing, you know. But to get back on topic, I like those young guys a lot. They just got a demeanor. And then they got game. You know, it's not like it's just a rah-rah guy out there. They got game to go with it. And so they earned my respect tonight for sure.
Thank you. How about that from Draymond Green, huh? I mean, not only about Keyshawn George and Bub Carrington, and he didn't talk about Alex Saar in that particular bite, but he talked about, you know, how every time they have a low man, I forgot exactly how he said it, but basically talking about the defensive toughness and tenacity of the Wizards and how they're building something here. And you just heard from Corey Kispert, right? And I know. They're 2-4, and they've got a tough 5-game road. Maybe they catch a little bit of a break, being that Banchero is hurt and not available for the Magic. Magic are still good. And Memphis, with Edie now, and Ja Morant playing back to Ja Morant capabilities and health, whew. I mean, you know, look, it's not the biggest thing about the Wizards, I can't remember who said this, is that the young guys continue to grow and play well. Again, it's not just play, it's play well or improve. And they said to lose as much as you can. Now, I don't believe in that philosophy. That's just me. And I don't think they believe in that philosophy. And I don't think they really want to encourage losing. But the best thing this team can do is to have all of these young guys that we just talked about, and including some of the young veteran guys, Kispert, Johnny Davis, even Jordan Poole, what have you, to play well, to play hard, to play together, to play with cohesiveness as a team, so on and so forth, to play tough, and to win some games so that you're not feeling helpless. But the games that you lose, and you're probably going to lose a lot more than you're going to win, to be like 5 point or less losses so that you feel, man, we're right there. If we could just get one more piece, one more thing, but yet you're losing enough to increase your chances to get a higher pick in the draft, but you're not an embarrassment. You're not uncompetitive. That's, again, you can't ask a player to lose on purpose. But lose with dignity? That might not be the worst thing for the Washington Wizards, who are, again, 2-4, heading to Memphis to start a 5-game road trip. All right, when we return, back to the NFL conversation, Sumer Sports does a great job covering down all the analytics and NFL coverage. Sam Brockhaus will join us from Sumer Sports. We will talk to him about the trade deadline, the acquisition of Marshon Lattimore, the Steelers acquisitions, and much, much more next on the T980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.